to know how it could, how it could be love. Trying to make the word come out, but they can't seem to leave my mouth. I'm stuck up in a lyrical trap. It's a shame I can even say your name.
That's nice. Okay, smooth, sultry. Hey, that was DeAndre, Hush My Love. And welcome. This is the Soul Savage Show, man. And welcome. You got QB, EB and Q-Lin on the line. What's going on, gang?
We need to combine our names together, EB.
Yep.
I was about to say,
QB.
Right, I was like, "Who's that? I don't know who that is."
Yeah, you guys.
Radio, y'all. We are starting off great.
You guys got married.
Will
Q-Lin and EB got married? That's what happened. It's QB from now on.
Oh, okay, I like that QB.
That's a new show, the QB Radio Show. But we gotta get right to it. We got a special guest on, singer, musician, songwriter, amazing. I think he was a finalist on American Idol Top 8. Top 8 finalists. It was, I remember watching that series. I was like, man, I was like, if he don't win this, I'm done watching. And I stopped watching it after he was off. But he had a debut album that released last year, called Black Denim. That's one of the songs off the album called Touch My Love. Y'all give it up right now. We got DeAndre on the line. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
All of your calls.
That's right.
Yes, that's the applause good. For you, DeAndre. I hope you like that.
I love it.
How are you doing? Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. I'm alive, and I still got another day. I'm chilling.
I know, right? Yeah. I just want to get right to it because I know time is limited, but I was going to ask, I want to get to the beginning because I know you started off on American Idol at 16, but I want to go back further than that before we even get to American Idol. I want to get back to, like, I call this part the musical genesis. I asked the people I interviewed the musical genesis of when they started. And I feel like your influences are clear as day, but even before naming your influences, what is it in particular that you remember, that inspired you to start singing? Was it any musician or singer that you heard on the radio or however you listened to music? What was it in particular that inspired you to do music or want to start singing?
Well, when I started, I don't know, it was something I kind of just did. It wasn't like, I never grew up in a musical family. It wasn't nothing like that. It kind of just something I just did naturally. It wasn't until I kind of got a bit older to where I was like, I actually want to put some effort into this and actually start doing it. And when I got a little bit older, like I'm talking about like probably middle schoolish, where I started really like appreciating singers, and it was Smokey Robinson, and it was like Stylistics, Earth, Wind & Fire, I Love the Whispers, it was DeBarge, all those high singers, and like a lot of Motown, mm-hmm. Motown and before, and like 70s like groups, is what I really loved and kind of took on first before anything, was that sound.
What did you have any gospel? Did you have any upbringing in gospel music? Did you ever sing in church?
I did sing in church. So my family's not a religious family at all.
I
brought myself to Christ. I was baptized in Emmanuel Baptist Church, and brought myself there and found God on my own, and kind of grew up with that. But I did always knew about gospel music. So like I grew up listening to like Clark Sisters and Shirley Caesar, I loved, but Dorinda Clark Cole was my favorite out of everything. It's my favorite gospel singer ever in the world, and ain't changed since then. I love me some Dorinda, but I discovered her around like 12.
So growing up, who is your Mount Rushmore of music? Like those four that you look to, like musically to sing.
Oh. Was Smokey Robinson, Patti LaBelle, and Prince. Those are my three.
The three? You got another one?
Maxwell would be one.
Okay. I can see
that. Growing up, Maxwell would be one too. But those are the main ones that kind of like heavily influenced and where it's like really inspired me and got me really excited about music growing up.
Okay. And you did American Idol at 16, right?
Yeah, 15 and 16.
Was that like, I get the years mixed up because I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. My birthday passed, so I'm getting older. So what, was that 2007 or 8? Because I'm trying to pinpoint the year. Because I remember that, because I remember Steven Tyler and Jennifer Lopez were the judges. And Randy Jackson.
2011.
Yeah. Okay, yes, that's when it was. Yeah. Yes, that's what it was. I told you I'm old. I'm thinking, 07, 08, I was like, right. And what I remember from that, I remember you doing those songs like you did Eric Benet. I remember you did Sometimes I Cry. I remember you doing The Barge, El Debarge, I Like It. I remember you doing Stevie Wonder's Master Blaster, Jammin'.
Yeah.
Yes. And you were 16 then, and I was like, wow. Because I remember when they would critique you, they would always compare you to other soul singers like the Maxwells and the Eric Benets and all that. I wanted to know, was there, like, anything, like, musically you had to, like, overcome to, like, do? I mean, even before even getting in the competition, like, further along like that, was there, like, anything before you even, or did you just audition and just, like, just did
just,
it off of
instinct? I just auditioned my mom because I grew up singing, but like it was, I grew up singing Hawaiian music randomly, which most people don't know about me. And like traditional Hawaiian music is what I grew up singing because me and my family was kind of taken in by a Hawaiian family, kind of grew up in a Hawaiian home. So I grew up singing Hawaiian music. And then I didn't start doing like non-Hawaiian music, like soul music and stuff until about my sophomore year in high school. And for BSU, we did a talent show called the Underground Railroad Talent Show. We did back at my hometown in the Bay Area. And then I sung This Woman's Work. And I got a response from people, and even my mom. My mom was like, oh, okay then. So you're going to do this. And American Idol happened to be in San Francisco that year. So that next year coming up, I auditioned for American Idol.
Wow. Because I remember watching that whole thing, and I was like, his voice is, I was like, he can't be 16. That's what I was thinking through the whole thing, because I was like, wow. Because it was so soulful, and it was like, you were, like, everything. The reason why I love certain artists that do certain songs, it's like, they have their own, like it's clear, like, that those are your influences, but it was like you did your own thing to it. And another question that I had regarding American Idol, I remember Mary J. Blige was that episode where you did Master Blaster jamming, and she was coaching you through that. And she was, because I feel like Mary, she doesn't get, like, the credit in terms of, like, really knowing singers. And my co-host talks about all the time in terms of all the knowledge she has on singers before her. And she was, like, giving you techniques that I feel like most artists wouldn't know that, like, skilled artists that were, like, students of music, like, wouldn't just know that information. She was telling you the, like, the intention of, like, hey, when it comes to this part right here, like, sing it with intention. And so what was that like getting that kind of feedback, if it was more than Mary J. Blige, but the singers on the show on American Idol that were coaching y'all during those episodes? What was that like?
It was great, because my thing, like I said, I didn't grow up around musicians. My family are sports people. And same with, like, where I grew up, two of my friends is, like, on the football team and stuff. I ain't played not a lick of sport when I got older. I played everything growing up. I mean, just, like, when I got old enough to be like, I don't want to do this, you know, I did it. You know, I didn't do it. But, so I never really had musician fans. I wasn't really surrounded by music. So it was nice to not only have people like Mary J. Blige and, like, Mary J. and Stevie Nicks, out of all my mentors, were just phenomenal, the best. Really insightful and actually helped me as an artist rather than just, you know, looked at it as a product or, you know, they really went in on vocal technique. They went in on artistry. They went in on, you know, where to emphasize a song or how to modulate in the right timing. Anyway, but it was cool to be around not only people like of that stature, but just other singers, just other musicians, because there's so many talented people in this world, and either they don't go for it or they're just not recognized. And I got to be around so many of them, you know, just through Hollywood Week and thousands of them at one time. It's just all a whole bunch of talent and being surrounded with people that have that same love for music and that same fascination for voice was humbling and a learning experience all on my own. Because like I said, I grew up and I was the only singer. So to me, I'm like, cool, I can sing. Like, I'm good. And then I get around all these other people, you know, knock me right down. I'm not the only singer in the world. You know? So it was a humbling and a great experience. Probably my favorite part of that whole experience was just being around other people and learning just by being around them.
Wow. And in terms of the growth, evolving, I'm about to get to your debut album. Before then, you said you traveled, you did 48 cities, you traveled the world, you went to the Philippines, and after American Idol was over with, in that experience doing that, what did you learn about performing live that you didn't know beforehand, like in terms of engaging an audience?
Well, it was different for the Idol, because that we did the Idol tour, so that was the 48 city one, and I opened up a 3-hour show, and then I sung back on for everybody else's set, only because number one, not everybody on that cast knew how to harmonize. They knew how to harmonize.
And, right.
But you know, right. The church knows you harmonize. That's what you do. Throw out a key and whatever, we will pick it up. That's what we do. And then because again, they gave me one song to open up a 3-hour show. So I'm like, nah, you're going to put me on everybody's thing. I don't care if I'm singing background and giving a ooh, or ooh and a ah, I'll do that, so I'm not going to be forgotten. I got to be after that whole show. And one thing I learned from that, because it's not my show, it's our show, and not everybody's there for me. So I kind of learned how to read a crowd and really know how to work people that aren't really interested in you, and how to either shut them out or engage them in that way. Because I've been gigging in bars since I was about 13, about 12, 13. I've been gigging in bars, again, Hawaiian music. So I kind of know how to be in front of people. I know how to, you know, work with hecklers and people that are drunk or people, you know. I've been through that. I've been doing that for years, you know, damn near 11, 12 years now already. So it was different to get on that big old arena stage. You sold out arenas. You did 48 arenas and kind of realized that not everybody's there for you. So this is where you put everything you can and make them either a fan or make them at least appreciate what you have. They don't got to be a fan, but at least to be like, that boy can sing. And that's kind of, that was my goal.
Right. And with your debut album came out last year, Black Venom, I just want to say, because I'm a harsh music critic, when I do album reviews on soulsadness.com, the whole purpose of me creating it was, okay, I have to find three elements in there. It has to be the production, the vocals for one, that's the main part,
right.
And the lyrics and the production. I feel like all three have to align for it to be a good album. Like, it can, like, if one thing is missing, then it's an okay album, maybe a couple skips, you know what I mean, in that particular, but with this one, I was like, it hit, for me, all the soul elements, I feel like soul music's supposed to have. Black Denim did that. And I'm a harsh critic, so if it wasn't, if it didn't reach that for me, I would just say it. But that, I mean, just the integrity of the album, the concept, I was listening to the lyrics, and if you wrote majority of all, you write all your music, don't you?
I wrote every chord, I did every vocal arrangement, I wrote every lyric.
Listen, when I tell you, I listened to every song, I was like, he has to be a musician. And I seen, before I even started following you on Instagram and I saw your videos playing, I listened to the album, I was like, yo, he has to be a musician, because I'm like, his ear is attuned, like, not like just pitch perfect, but it's like, when you're singing, it's like, it's mimicking. I love singers that mimic an instrument. That lets me know that they can play an instrument, like what Aretha Franklin does, what James Ingram does. I can hear it in his voice. Prince, D'Angelo, all those singers that play, it's like, I heard that, and I was like, most of the songs were guitar-driven, so your voice, like, fit. I don't know what it is about singers with that higher register and playing, like, guitar. It's like the perfect, like, marriage to me. So I just feel like Black Denim is, like, completely just solid in terms of concept. So what was your journey, like, making that whole album?
The journey was a long one. Long as far as it dragged out, but it only took a couple of years. I started writing music. Again, I'm not the best musician. I picked up guitar about...
You could have fooled me, because it's...
I want to say about 3-4 years ago. 3 years ago. Like all the chords that I wrote, I could tell you some of them. A lot of them are just shapes that I heard out. And just like I hear it, I just don't pick it up. I don't really know. It's more just all by ear. Still learning that. I started writing music for myself, kind of just to deal with my problems, my emotions in a sense, because I was getting really sad or depressed in certain parts of my life, in a certain time of my life, and I didn't know how to express it, so I put it in music, as most musicians do. And then kind of played it for my friends. They're like, this is actually cool. And I'm like, all right, then I'm going to, you know, I'll lay it down. And I started doing that, and I was living in Hawaii at the time. And then, which I didn't really like, put myself through college, and I had 3 jobs, and I was doing a lot, and I just didn't have time. So I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I happened to do a tour in Australia a year prior to that, and I fell in love with this city called Melbourne. It's a whole bunch of creative people. I got so inspired. I was there for a day, and I got to thinking, I got to talking to several people, and one of my really close friends, his name is Isaac, he's like, where's the one place where you'd want to record an album? Like, why are you doing it here? And I'm just like, well, I live here. He's like, are you doing it out of convenience? Because you know so many musicians, why aren't you doing it? I'm like, well, I'll do it in Melbourne, which I wanted to do anyway, because I wanted to challenge the sound. I didn't want to use people that know me and know where I go, even though I'm very picky. I'm very, very picky. I'm particular on how my music sounds. But I wanted to be around other musicians that inspire me and push me and challenge me in what I do that I'm not used to. So I literally got up 2 months after that and moved to Australia. Didn't know anybody and met a whole bunch of people. Did what you do, you know, do open mics and show up to everybody's gig and try to show what you got and meet new friends and new musicians and record my album there up in the attic.
Wow. And so with writing, was it just like somebody just vibing with a musician and they come up with like a little measure or melody and you started humming the melody, or how did it come to you?
Oh, the lyric form? No. It's always melody first.
Right.
And then whatever it feels like, I'll mumble, and whatever those words come out are usually what that's supposed to be. I call that channeling through God. Honestly, I'm just like, all right, like, you know, whatever it feels right to me, then that's what it's gonna be. But my whole album is just me. I don't co-write, so it's just me and a guitar, and then I show the musicians what my songs are.
Wow.
So you mean to tell me that was mine? Yeah.
Hold up, you just blew my mind right there. So you mean to tell me all those different ad-libs, all those different harmonies added in there, laid it in there like that? That was all you?
That's me. Yeah.
Are you fucking? You see what I'm saying? It's artists like this, Marsha Ambrosia and Belada, get on my nerves because they just say it like, oh yeah, I just did that shit. Like it's like natural. Yeah. You know, like hard that is. Listen to the listening audience. Y'all understand writing music, composing music, how hard it is to do that. And he just said, yeah, you know, just God speaking, like, that's crazy. Like, I'm just blown away by that.
Oh, well, thank you.
He's just
so much.
saying it like it's nothing. I'm jealous. But go ahead.
Well, I grew up listening to people that did that. So to me, like, that's normal.
Right.
But like people like Prince, and people like that's what they did. So like, as you know, if you really want to own a song, I'm not saying it's wrong to have someone else write your song or co-write. Like that's, I'm all about that.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah,
I'm all about that. But because I was previously signed after Idol to sign Interscope Records and Universal Records, and I got screwed over really bad. I didn't have any ownership, no creative control, or nothing. And I had to put out this terrible pop song called "Her Crazy." I hate it. So they saw me and they're like, oh, we started recording some new things and like wrote some stuff, and they're like, nah, we don't like that. You're a little white boy. We're doing pop. Hated it. So when I decided to put down money, because this is an independent album, you know, I funded it myself. Everything is mine. I wanted it to be mine. So I wanted every lyric to be mine. I wanted all these chords. I wanted to write it, and I wanted to show what DeAndre does and have a clear representation of who I am as an artist and as a vocalist and, you know, what I do.
Right. And speaking of new music, I believe you just officially signed with West to East Empire, your new manager.
Yes, I did.
Here, and Russell Wilson. Congrats on that, first off.
Thank you so much.
Incredible. And you got new managers and you got new record label under Beauty Marks Entertainment.
Yes.
Yes. So what's the going forward with the next album? The reason why I'm saying about Black Denim is it's incredible that you already, I feel like you already set the blueprint to what your sound is. Like, I feel like it's distinguishable against anybody that's out right now. And
thank you.
I feel like seeing artists like you, singers like you, just not to compare, but in terms of just the artistry, like Leanne DeHavis and just those artists like that are Algebra Blissett, like those artists that are singers/songwriters that continue to develop with every album. I'm looking for, so what should we be looking forward to the next album in terms of your growth musically and vocal wise, I guess.
It's going to be vocal heavy, period, because that's just what I do.
Right.
I'm a vocalist before a musician, like before anything. That's why I have all them background vocals. I love one of my vocal heroes as far as like arrangement is Tweet. I love me some Tweet.
I was literally about to say your harmonies remind me of Tweet. I felt like the different added harmonies, it was giving me that vibe. It was giving me Faith Evans, like those different.
Yes.
Harmonies that I heard. I was literally fixing to say that. Oh my God.
Yeah. I love Tweet. Tweet is so underrated and so underappreciated. I love me some Tweet. Her last couple albums.
Woo!
Whole Southern Hummingbird.
Charlene, are you kidding me?
Album.
What? Oh my God.
There's no skips for me on that, for that album.
No skips at all. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Such a beautiful body of work. And it was all coherent and like everything was cohesive. It was, I loved it. Anyway, but it's going to be my new stuff is going to be Vocal Heavy number one. Because I'm under a new management and label, the sound won't be too different, but we're going to try to go a little bit modern, and I made it very clear tonight. You know, so it's a little bit modern. Again, I'm not going to be doing no trap music. I'm not, like, that's not what I do.
Oh, please don't.
It's not what I do. It's just, you know, there's still going to be musicality to it. I'm still going to be able to sing it. It's going to be a little bit modern, and I'm going to start collaborating with a couple other people. I'm going to try to get my boy Duran Bernard on a duet on a couple on one of the songs. So up and coming people that I really look up to, trying to get on, not trying to, I'll have on this album.
You know that group Lake Street Dive?
I love me some.
Here's the thing.
Yes, I love Lake Street Dive. No one.
I was like, I'm looking more of that. When you said like going a new direction, that's more of what I feel like. You know what I mean? I just pictured that in my head. But go ahead.
I love it. Probably won't be as because they do like mod pop 60s soul.
Right.
Kind of what they do. Which I'm all about. That woman's voice is ridiculous. The tone of her voice is ridiculous.
Crazy.
But I kind of be. I wouldn't say hip hop. But just more so like newer, cool R&B-ish.
Okay, got you. I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ish, right.
I'm under a label, so I don't have, not that I don't have full control, but it's I'm under a label now. So we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. Again, I'm very stubborn and I'm very picky, so it still sounds like Dre.
I'm a little cold. Evie, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I'm listening and I am... DeAndre, you are like a musical enigma to me. Like, you are, to be so young and to have, not only knowledge of, you know, the singers, but their vocal techniques who've come before you. And then for Hawaiian music to be, you know, what you were singing and for you to sound so soulful and then the way you stack your vocals. And I just think it's amazing. I think, I feel like a lot of people have criticized American Idol or the musicians who come out of American Idol, but I do feel like it's a perfect learning ground. When you went on tour, what was the experience like singing backup? Not even, you know, opening, but singing backup. What was that experience like for you?
I loved it. I always loved singing harmony. As you could tell in my music, I think background vocals are the best part of the song. You know, it fills up the sound and kind of makes it sets the tone. For me,
yeah,
it sets the tone. And you know, instruments are always you know it's important in the actual melody of the song, but the background vocal just accentuates it. It brings out what the song is really needed and covers it up. Anyway, I loved it. Because number one, I'm not being judged in the sense like I'm not the spotlight, so it's not too much of a worry, and I'm still singing. Number one, at the end of the day, I love to sing.
Right.
The actual like physical act of singing, I like singing. That's all I need to do. I don't need fame. If it comes, thank you. You know, I'll take it, and I'll do as best as I can to do what I do to be successful. But at the end of the day, if I could sing, I don't care if it's two people watching. Or 200,000. Like, I'm singing. I love to sing. So the fact that I got to do it was fun. It was fun. And I got to end up doing different arrangements and stuff for the different artists that we were on, that we had. So it was cool. It was really, really cool. I loved it.
Now, did you write those arrangements, or were you doing other people's arrangements?
I wrote them. I wrote them, like, vocal arrangements and stuff for the show.
Wow.
And then ended up, while I was in Australia, sorry to go all the way back, while I was in Australia... at the end of my visa, you know, because I had to get kicked out of the country after a certain time, I'm Australian. But at the end of my visa, I ended up picking up a gig for The Voice, and I was a backing vocalist for The Voice, Australia, and I loved it. I completely loved it. It was so much fun being on the other side, you know, of that, not being a
person
and actually just working with the artists and you know. Getting to be a part of the sound. I loved it.
And that's part of why I call you a musical enigma, just because of your love for the music and doing it. I can tell you're not one of the artists who is in it for the fame or who is in it for the clout. Like you said, you just love to sing. You love music. What is, if you have, like, what is your, when was the first time you really realized, like, okay, you know, I can, you know, I can't just carry a tune. I can sing.
Oh, well, the first time was at, talent show I did in high school.
Hmm.
It was a talent show I did in high school. Cause again, I always loved to sing, so I did it anyway. It wasn't until I saw people's reactions that I got, and it wasn't like, you know, like, oh, you did a good job. It was the moving people. I saw somebody cry, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I could do this. Like, just, wow. You know, actually, I'm doing something, you know, and I'm changing somebody, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's emotionally or, like, helping them deal with something or even just taking them out of their reality for 3 minutes and 30 seconds or however long the song is, just to, you know, whatever it may be. This is something I could do. So ever since then, off and on, you know, I have my trials and tribulations with it, but now I'm very, I feel very blessed that I'm successfully doing it, and even on my own. I put myself on tour for Black Denim and sold out every show, you know, worldwide. We did three in London, and we did New York, and opened up for Jasmine Sullivan with it in Florida, Oakland and Yoshi's. I did it on my own. Funded everything for my band out, and so I feel like I'm very successful in what I've done or what God has given me, not even what I've done. But that was the main time was my high school talent show.
Wow, I mean, just and I'm going to say it one more time: to be so young, your knowledge for music, but also the love that you have is really blowing me away. When just to reiterate and say it once again, you did your own tour and you
yes.
sold out worldwide, not just stateside, but worldwide.
Yes.
You gotta brag a little bit on that. You know, that's a big
proud.
Deal.
I'm very proud. Look, I'm very proud that I even put out an album, period. Again, that I did myself, that I wrote myself,
yeah.
funded myself. I had very, very, talented musicians and other people working on it as far as like playing the thing, but most things, you know, guitar licks, I sang them out, and all the chords I wrote, it's mine, and I take pride in that, and even just being vulnerable enough, because that was my biggest thing with even writing music and showing people, was because every song of Black Denim is mine. It's a story. I can't write on my ass. I have to go through something or be inspired by something, and then I write it. That's the only, that's where I'm trying to get there, to where I could just, like, you know, let me just write a song just to write a song, for the sake of writing. But every one of them songs are a personal story to me. So to kind of put that aside, or not even put my pride aside and put my vulnerability aside and be like, you know what, this helped me through something, let me present it, and maybe it could change somebody's, you know, tone of thought, or maybe it could help them get through something. And that's kind of like, those are my Grammys. So what I have back home, not home, but here, because I'm in Vegas right now doing a show, but back home in New York, I have this book, and I print out like DMs or emails people send me of stories of my songs that they got me through. And it's my Grammy book, because like a Grammy nomination would be great. I care less about winning one. A nomination would be nice, just a recognition, but the changing people's lives and helping people get through their divorce, or there's this one last month saying that her brother and her sister-in-law got murdered, and that one of my songs kind of helps her get through it. Like, she's been kind of not, you know, happy, but it's easier to process because of one of my songs. And it's shit like that where it's like, okay, I'm doing what I need to do, and I'm doing it correctly. So that's my
now,
Grammy.
Do you have a favorite song from Black Denim? I know it's hard to choose, like it's almost like choosing your favorite child, but is there a special song that, you know, stands out?
I don't Need Your Love. So IDNYL is my favorite one that I wrote, only because it's the only one I wrote for myself, to me.
Ah.
you know, or not to me, but for myself, it's to others.
Right.
I need your love. It's not a romantic or relationship song. It's more of, I don't need, it's to society, it's to people, it's to my family, it's to, say, I don't need you to accept me, I don't need you to give me your approval. Like, I'm good with who I am. And it took me years to kind of figure that out and really be confident in me. So yeah, it started off as a poem.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it started off as a poem, just, and then I put a, later on, like a week later, put a melody to it, and then ended up becoming a song. Yeah.
And this is my last question. I think it's important to ask, like, what do you want your musical legacy to be? Like, when it's all said and done and people think of DeAndre, like, what do you want them to think? Like, what do you want to leave with us?
Again, well, you mean what I want to leave when I'm gone? Like, who I was?
Well, not even when you're gone, but, you know, coming up as a newer artist, like, what do you want people to associate the name DeAndre with?
With a vocalist. As a vocalist. I want to be a vocalist. I don't, not that I'm not an artist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself an artist. So, you know, again, I put all my, it's me. Everything I put in is me.
Yeah, clearly you're an artist.
At the end of the day, I want you to be like he could sing, period.
Mm.
But again, you don't have to like me. You don't have to,
right.
And my music doesn't need to be a taste, and that's fine. I'm not offended. I'm like, because there's people that I don't really like their music, but damn, you could sing. So my thing is, I just want you to take away that I could sing. That's one thing I don't let people take away from me. I may be ugly, I may be dumb, but I could sing. And I won't let nobody take it away.
You're not either one of those.
No, yeah. I was
it would just
saying,
be pure blasphemy if they said that.
Yeah. But those things could be questions. Those could be, you know, by preference. But my thing is, I could sing. Whether it be your taste in music or not, I could sing. And I want you to take that more than anything.
That damn, I'm telling you right now, the black Dylan, to the listening audience, if I can reiterate, if you've never done anything in your life, if you complain about the R&B or lack of R&B, listen to Black Diddle. When I tell you, he do notes, he does runs in there that I can't duplicate. It's like, you listen to it, and it's like, did I just hear what I just hear? And I gotta hit the rewind, I call his music the rewind music, cause I just keep hitting, like, hold on, I gotta keep going back to that. What did he do right there? Okay. I thought I was hearing stuff, but that's what, listen, you're a singer, like you're a singer, but I think what I call it the triple fact of like the D'Angelo's, like the Prince's, that they were students of the music. I think your passion, your vocal ability is like shines through.
Absolutely.
Beyond influences. It's just the, you know, like I know you know the technicalities of like the way you approach a song. It's like clear as day. And actually, I love that interlude before the song you were just talking about. What is it called? Fernet, the interlude?
Fernetti. Yeah, Fernetti.
Yeah. And I was like, that's when the album started. I understood it from there, but then I was like, okay, this is what this album is about. And like what you were saying, it was like, I looked at it beyond like relationship-wise. It was like, I just thought in general that was the idea of it. The song.
Thank you. I love intentional interludes. I love interludes with substance. I love the interlude period if it's just like good, but
it's
like,
that's what I'm saying. Sense. It's like little, the being a student of the music is not replicating something that's already
yeah.
existed. It's about understanding what that artist did and taking those little things like with Faith Evans, and Jodeci, like, those are, like, they're known for interludes and stuff like that. Like, to me, that's what 90s R&B was. 90s albums was, like, interludes and stuff like that. So it's, like, take me, like, let me reminisce, but don't, like, you know, because that's kind of corny to do that to me, to, like, try to recreate, not sample-wise, but just trying to recreate something that already existed is corny to me.
Yeah.
But I listen, we've been here for a minute. I'm going to let you go, but we play this game we like to call What's Wrong With You Game. And it's basically either or.
Oh, boy.
Basically, the rules of the game are you have to pick what I pick or something's wrong with you. That's the premise of the game. And so no pressure at all. But
no, I mean, look, no, I already know I'm going to lose this one. I can tell. So
what's wrong with you game? And so it's basically the rules of the game is just picking the artist that you have more of on your playlist. It's not necessarily comparison. It's just who do you listen to more on your playlist? That's
okay.
The rule. And so the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Teddy.
There you go. You're talking right. The next one is The Whispers or the OJs.
Oh, Whispers.
You're talking right. The next one is Prince or Rick James?
Prince. Oh,
but you're talking right. But listen, some of these are little bonuses in here, so you got all, like, bonus points for that. You didn't get anything wrong with that. Those are, like, tricks. I got, like, little, like I said, I make up the rules as I go.
The game is rigged.
I throw little tricks. It's not rigged. Ignore the producer of the show. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This game is not rigged. It's perfect. Okay, so this part of the game, this is where it gets tricky because you have to get all these right or you get a What's Wrong With You. And so, the first one is Michael Jackson specific. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Oh, Off the Wall.
You talking right!
Yeah.
You don't know how much that was a tricky as far as for the guests to come on. Sometimes I'm unsure with that one, but you talking right on that one. The next
off
one?
The
okay, I'm going to brace myself for this next one. I don't know how you're going to go with this one.
Don't break
I feel like the energy's right. Listen.
The energy
okay,
right.
I'm gonna throw it out there. Okay, Patty or Aretha?
Oh, Patty. Sorry.
You talking right?
I like talking right.
DeAndre, my love. I knew the energy was right. I knew we were connected. The vibration was at its highest frequency.
She found the one.
He's Team Aretha, and I'm Team Patty. So that's what you're hearing right now, DeAndre.
I knew
he was talking.
Patty
all day. You hear that? Yeah, Patty all day.
The game is rigged.
Hello?
He's talking right. The game is not rigged at all. He's winning. Ain't nothing rigged about it. He's winning. He ain't got one
whatever.
Right.
Next question.
Okay.
Next question.
EB's getting a little perturbed. Okay, we'll let you go. Okay, next one is Brian McKnight or Babyface.
Babyface.
You talk. Listen. Okay, this is a bonus one. If you get this one, I don't know how I'm going to act. Okay, this is bonus. Okay, vocally,
yeah.
who are you choosing?
Wait, before you.
Listen, these are my rules. I can change them how
DeAndre.
I want to. I told you I make up the rules as I go. These
DeAndre,
are my rules.
I think you are so talented. Listen, I need you to think
long
and hard before
up.
You answer the next question.
No, he don't need to think. He ain't got to think about this one. He don't need to think. Vocally, DeAndre, my love, who are you picking between Mary J. Blige or Faith Evans?
Oh, God.
I'm Faith Evans.
You talk! Listen, God damn it. God damn it. I have concluded. This is the first person on this show. This is in Soul Savage Radio history. The first person on this show that ate this game. I didn't have to talk and coach them through it.
Yeah.
They ate the whole thing. Within seconds. I conclude. There is nothing wrong. With
that's
the amazing vocalist, talented songwriter, DeAndre. There's nothing wrong with him, okay? He won the game.
Oh,
man. Give the claps up for that, Will. He deserves all claps for that. Listen, he aced the whole game. He didn't get nothing wrong. He got everything right. DeAndre is a vocal... is a young vocal giant, so he know what he's talking about, EB.
Right.
I'm not going to be... Go ahead.
I knew what it was going to be. I'm just going to be quiet.
Well, what I will say with that last one, though, is I'll listen to Mary J. Mary J. got more hits for me. But vocally...
That's why I switched the rules on you, because I knew
that's
the go-to. That's why I switched the rules.
That's right. I told you it was rigged.
I'm just saying.
That's not rigged. I told you, I make up rules as I go. I told y'all that's how it works.
That's what rigged me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Ignore if the haters, you know, they can't define greatness, you know, vocal greatness when they hear it. That's their problem. Man, but me up, and man. You, our ears work very fine. So you talking right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. When should we look out for new music? Let the listening audience know when we should be looking out for some new projects of yours.
It should come out by January. We're working on some stuff right now. I actually already have stuff. I got about 8 songs. But I don't know if we'll use them all. We're going to start sending things to work with other people, but if we don't use them all, I'm just going to slowly release them. It's old school soul stuff. Yes. So I don't know if we'll use all of it, but yeah.
DeAndre 2020. That is something to look forward to. Listen, thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, your voice it just fills my spirit listening to that album. It's just 100% conceptually great. Like I said, I'm looking forward to just hearing, you're so young, but I know the journey you're taking with the music is so authentic because you're a student of the music, and I appreciate that. Like I said, the artists I named, like Leanne LaHavas and you know, Corinne Bay Rayleigh, like those artists like that, that really hold the integrity of soul music, but just music in general, I feel like. Because I feel like soul music is genreless. I say that all the time. Like, R&B, country.
Absolutely.
R&B, country, jazz, rock music, it's alternative rock, even some of that. Like, some of that all holds some kind of soul to it, depending on who's singing it. But thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. Amazing. Make sure y'all go get down. Black Venom is available on all digital outlets. Make sure y'all get that. But let the people know where they can find you on social media, DeAndre.
You can find me at DeAndre408 on all platforms of social media, Facebook, SoundCloud, all that other stuff, Instagram. Make sure it's going with a little check next to it. We'll be good.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure. Thank you for winning the game. I appreciate that as well. You were talking right. Ain't nothing wrong with DeAndre.
Oh, here we go. Thank you, DeAndre. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. And we will be back in 6 minutes to race. This is a song from DeAndre Dapper, Black Denim, the self-titled. We'll be back.
All justified, every ounce, but my mind can't take it. A constant lie to myself as I struggle to float away. Earthbound and I'm chained to this feather weight. To bear this burden that is heavy as night. Seas, skies, the end of my mental momentum. Be I, drowning in the pools of black and of water. I see I, trying to fit an image of beauty. To figure out my mind is playing tricks as a force. My size decline, the substance needed to stay alive. Sweet signs, the end of my mental momentum. Blind, abide, blind in high. to be.